Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast. This is the episode for Monday, November 13th, and we are bringing you coverage of your first place Detroit Pistons, who are now 10-3 after ho-hum, another weekend sweep. The team has won 8 of 9 and just swept a 5-game homestand in downtown Detroit at Little Caesars Arena. The Pistons have the same record as the Golden State Warriors right now, as we all predicted coming into the season, of course, and are trailing only the Boston Celtics in the Eastern Conference standings right now. What a weekend and what a homestand for Detroit basketball. The Lions are back to 5-4 after a nice cover against the Cleveland Browns on Sunday at home as well. Feeling good if you're a Detroit sports fan. Man, it's been a rough few years. I moved away from Michigan in 2010, and I thought, man, wouldn't it be such a bummer if one of those Detroit sports teams or Michigan State make a national championship run or get a title or win a Super Bowl or win a World Series while I'm gone and not able to be around my family and friends when that happens. But guess what? It has not happened. It's been a rough few years for Detroit fans. So I haven't missed much living out of state and out of the U.S. mainland for a little while as well. But now it looks like we got some teams that are on the comeback. I don't know if any of these teams have a championship coming anytime in the next year or two. And of course, the Detroit Tigers have ways to go, and the Red Wings probably have a little bit of a painful rebuild ahead. But the Pistons are playing exciting basketball. The Lions look like they are in for an exciting second half of the season as well. Michigan and Michigan State, especially Michigan State, look strong this winter in basketball season. The football teams are relevant and ranked once again. So it's a good time. The Red Wings are back to 500 right now after a rough missing of the playoffs last year. So it's feeling pretty good. My Central Michigan Chippewas beat Western and Eastern. They got Michigan on Monday night. I know a lot of the Pistons fans are fans of all these teams as well. So, hey, it feels pretty good. Feels pretty good to be a Detroit sports fan, and you couldn't always say that these last few years. But the Pistons are continuing rolling. They're going to hit the road now. Wednesday night, they're going to be at the Bradley Center in Milwaukee. I will be there as well, so I'm going to have a lot of details from my trip to Milwaukee up there this week. Friday night, they're going to be at Indiana, and then Sunday night at Minnesota, and then a back-to-back coming back to Detroit on Monday, a week from today, to play LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers. And then a couple, during that holiday week, another couple road games that are going to be tough, as Black Friday, the night after Thanksgiving, they're going to be at Oklahoma City, and then at Boston the Monday after that. So kind of plan your schedule accordingly. Monday nights, maybe hit the sports bar or something, or maybe even hit Little Caesars Arena for that LeBron James game with the Cavs, and then the following Monday against Boston. So some big ones coming up, a little bit of a tougher schedule after the Pistons knocked off some softies at home these past couple games. I talked about in the preseason about, and early in the season, about those red circle games, those games that the Pistons not only want to win for their own sake, but they want to give losses to the opponents because they might be fighting for playoff seeding and playoff spots with those teams down the road. So I wanted to kind of take a look at those real quick here. They got the win over Milwaukee, the win over Miami, the win over Charlotte so far this year. And you might even throw the New York Knicks in that category right now. They got Porzingis playing really well, and they're over 500. So maybe that Knicks win is a red circle game. It might be hard to say at this point in the season which will ultimately be red circle games, but they've got those three, maybe even four wins. They got the loss to the Philadelphia 76ers, who I think is one of those teams in that category as well. The Washington loss, I'm not going to quite put in there because I still think Washington's a level ahead of the Pistons, even though the Pistons' record is better than them and most every team in the NBA right now. So I think I'm going to call them about 4-1 in the red circle games so far. So that's pretty good. So congratulations to the Pistons on a great start. And for Pistons fans, congratulations to you for putting up with a rough decade or so. And enjoy this while it lasts, because we don't know certainly how this season is going to end up and if we got the playoffs in the future or anything like that. But enjoy this. I mean, what's better than this, right? I mean, we've seen our teams win championships in the past. What's the best time to be a fan is when the team is kind of on that ascension and they're kind of surprising you a little bit. Maybe you didn't have those expectations for where this team was as they're on their way up and they keep going to that next level, to that next level. They make the first round of the playoffs. They make the second round of the playoffs. They knock off someone. They beat the aging star. They hold off the LeBron James in his younger days for one more year, those kind of things. Those are the times when it's great to be a fan. And then of course, you win a championship down the road, and that's the ultimate. But after that, when your team's trying to get back or you're kind of tired of this rotation of guys that you've seen for all these years, it kind of gets to be a little bit of a drag at times. And then you get spoiled and you make the Eastern Conference Finals a few years in a row and you're not enjoying it as much because you're, you know, hoping to make the next step. But this is it. I mean, this is all gravy when you're following a team that you didn't have maybe the highest of expectations for, but they're surprising you. They're playing hard. They're a likable group of guys. You know, it doesn't get any better than this. So enjoy it, like I said. Enjoy the telecasts and get out to Little Caesars Arena as quickly as you can, just in case, you know, things take a bad turn. Wanted to point out a couple of tweets on the show today. One of them from Bill Simmons, the godfather of the internet sports writing profession and podcasting and whatnot. He was giving his buddy Jalen Rose a backhanded compliment or a compliment on the way, saying, "Hey, get ready for the Boston Celtics and Detroit Pistons Eastern Conference Finals this year." And I'm sure he's a little bit tongue-in-cheek there and maybe taking a shot at the Cleveland Cavaliers kind of in the process. But, hey, you know, some of these good teams in the NBA aren't quite looking maybe as good as we thought. The Gordon Hayward injury in Boston, all the problems defensively with the Cleveland Cavaliers, a lot of old guys on that team. Who knows what that team's going to look like? Certainly the smart money probably says that they get it on track and are going to be certainly a tough out come playoff season. But, hey, you never know. Again, these are good times to be a fan. Wanted to give an update on the injury status of Stanley Johnson and John Luehr. George and Greg talked about it on the telecast of the Miami game today. I'm taping this late on a Sunday night, by the way. Stanley Johnson still got the hip flexor injury. And while they were hoping to have him back on Sunday or shortly thereafter, he's kind of up in the air right now. He's not practicing. They called it maybe even a lower back issue as well. So a little bit of mystery surrounding Stanley Johnson's availability. The hip flexor, like I said, I had one before in my senior year of high school. It's tough to move laterally, and it's tough to extend the legs. So you talk about Stanley Johnson's skills as a player. He's a defensive whiz. He's really stepped up his defensive game. And if you know playing basketball, moving laterally is pretty much one of the biggest keys, if not the biggest key, when you're playing defense in basketball. So that's going to hamper probably his best skill right there. And I've talked about a little bit of his jump shot in the past. He uses a lot of legs, and he kicks out those legs when he shoots those jumpers. So that hip flexor is going to affect his jump shooting, which can't be affected too much because it's already pretty rough, and then his defense, which is his best skill. So I think the hip flexor injury for Stanley Johnson might even mean more to his overall game than maybe your average player. John Luehr is still dealing with the ankle, and we know how high ankle sprains can be as from other sports, but hopefully he can get back. That sounds like a two or three-week injury that he's about 1 week into so far. So not a lot of hope for John Luehr to be back this week, maybe towards the end of the week possibly, but especially Wednesday in Milwaukee, you could pretty much count on those two guys not being in the lineup. And that's going to be tough when you got guys like Eric Bledsoe and Giannis Antetokounmpo as well. So tough sledding for those two will definitely impact the Pistons going forward. Also this week, we got Draft Wednesday coming up in a couple of days. Check out draft.com or the Draft app that you can easily download. Sign up. Use the promo code LOPISTONS, all caps. Find me on the app, and it's my screen name there is Matt Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H. Do they still call those screen names, or am I using an old AOL reference that is dated? But Twitter handle, screen name, whatever it is, find me, Matt Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, all one word. Follow me on the app. I'm going to set up a draft NBA Fantasy Daily for Wednesday's games, which, of course, will include the Pistons and Bucks, so you can draft all your Pistons on there, too. We've been doing them every week. They're a lot of fun. We get a couple of I might get a couple of drafts going if we got enough listeners that are going this week. Some guys win some money. And the guys that play, they tell me, they text me, and they tweet me, and they say, "This is great. I'm back in the NBA now. I got to learn about all these other teams." And you throw a little bit of money in there. If you use the promo code, you get a free $3 entry, and that's what we do. We do $3 for all these ones, and we'll do a Locked On Pistons draft on Wednesday. You can pre-rank players if you can't be in there. We'll do it at about 6 o'clock or so Eastern time. So you can pre-rank players if you can't be in the app when the draft is happening. But the drafts are fun too, and they're quick, 30 seconds per pick. They move along. You're not sitting there on the app all day. It's fun. It's great. And everyone has told me it's the best daily fantasy app that I've ever used, and I've heard good reviews from other people as well. So go ahead and join us there for this Wednesday.
Yes, sir!
Well, let's go inside the box scores from the Pistons' two weekend wins at Little Caesars Arena in downtown Detroit on Friday night. They had the lowly Atlanta Hawks in, although the Hawks came in fresh after a few days off, and the Pistons looked a little sloppy there in the second half. Atlanta climbed all the way back, tied the game late, but Reggie Jackson hit two late three-pointers, including one that was a few steps behind the three-point line there. He was kind of the closer. It turned into the Todd Jones roller coaster closer in some ways for Stan Van Gundy. So a 22-point night for Reggie Jackson leading the way for the Pistons in the win there. Andre had 16 points and 20 rebounds and was great down the stretch. Had a good one there. He went 0 for 7 from the free throw line, though, so a little bit of a concern as Andre had his first horrific night from the line so far this season. Avery Bradley had 20 points, and Ish Smith, what a player. What a dynamic pickup a couple years ago for Stan Van Gundy and the Pistons. He had 17 points off the bench in the win, and then was strong again on Sunday as the Pistons picked up a 112-103 win against the Heat. What a game. That was a great one. How both teams knocked down a lot of three-pointers, especially Miami, early on and throughout the first half. Pistons defense clamped down a little bit in the second half and were strong offensively throughout. Like I said, 112 points, followed up by 111 on Friday. Nice weekend performance shooting-wise for Stan Van Gundy's club. Tobias Harris led the way for the Pistons on Sunday with 25 points and 7 rebounds. Avery Bradley, another strong game, 24-6. For the trade acquisition from the Boston Celtics, Reggie Jackson had 17 points. Andre Drummond had 8 points and 17 rebounds. He's piling up the boards. I remember checking box scores and listening to George Blaha on the radio back in the day about Dennis Rodman and how many rebounds he'd have. He'd have 21, 23. He'd have 30 some nights. I mean, he was just going crazy on the boards. Drummond is turning into that kind of character right now on the glass for the Pistons. Just a reliable fixture in there in the paint, grabbing boards and well-publicized assists as well. I think he had 6 assists on Friday night against Atlanta. Really kind of the point center people are talking about, where he's the offense is running off of him a little bit. He's coming away from the basket. They're running rub screens off of him, and they're also using his court vision to find some open shooters. So it's a creative way that the Pistons are using their big man. I think we've seen throughout Drummond's young career that maybe he's not the post-up option that you want to have. He's not going to put a move on someone like Kevin McHale and get a layup or turn into a crafty scorer with his back to the basket, and certainly not going to hit a lot of jump shots as well. So this was Stan Van Gundy's way of saying, hey, we've got a different type of superstar on our team. Or not superstar, probably shouldn't use that word, but a different kind of star on our team. We've got a guy who's big, who's athletic, who can rebound, who can serve as a rim protector sometimes, not a great defender, but pretty good presence in the middle, certainly. So what do we do? Like, how can we use this asset that we have and be productive about it? And so he's getting Andre away from the basket a little bit and using his court vision, which is pretty strong for a 7-footer like he is. So hats off to Stan Van Gundy for that. I think that's one of the obvious coaching changes and moves that he's made so far this season. And I think it's an interesting article. Some of the bloggers talked about it last week, and I think Rod Beard of the Detroit News wrote about it a little bit too. After one of the practices, Stan Van Gundy was asked about what's different with this team this year, and he talked to his brother, Jeff Van Gundy, over the offseason, and he talked about how Jeff was trying to get him away from the pick and roll a little bit. Stan talked about how his whole career he's just been a pick and roll guy. Well, he used his brother's advice and kind of get away from the pick and roll a little bit too. So something to keep an eye on is that it's not just a pick and roll team. And the other thing about it is, even though sometimes they are using the pick and roll quite a bit still, They're going into it with different ways. They're passing into pick and rolls. They're setting screens to go into a pick and roll. It's just there's different ways of going about that. And we're going to talk a little bit about the film breakdown this week. I'm excited for a guest we're going to have on a little bit later in the week as well. Drummond was 2-for-4 from the line, so certainly a lot better than Friday night there. But the big story for the game and the guy that got the Little Caesars Arena crowd going was Luke Kennard, the rookie from Duke. Had a career-high 14 points in his young career, obviously. A plus 21 for the rookie in the game. So really strong output there as far as impact he was having on the game. Had a strong second quarter and played well throughout the fourth. So he doesn't lack any confidence. I mean, say what you want about those Duke kids. He's, you know, just another one of those Duke guys that maybe a lot of Duke haters, especially in the state of Michigan, kind of love to hate throughout their college career. But whatever you want to say about those guys, they certainly are confident. They feel like they belong. They got a little bit of swagger in them. He's asking for calls out there. He's putting up three-pointers. He's, you know, when the extra pass is there, possibly he's still going to hoist it up. He's going up and under. He's stepping through. He's doing a lot of interesting, fun things for a rookie. And I think the surprising thing about people that didn't watch Kennard a lot at Duke, and these are skills that are maybe a little bit tougher to show in the college game where things are a little bit more compact and tougher to maybe show those individualistic skills. He's not just a guy who's a, you know, your classic shooter, spot up kind of guy. He scores a lot creatively, maybe more than we thought when he was drafted. Maybe we thought, okay, this guy's going to maybe fill it up from the outside and that could be a nice skill. But he's a guy who can do a lot of things creatively with the ball. He's a pretty good offensive player. His defense is going to come along, hopefully, throughout his career. But a strong night for Luke Kennard as he introduced himself to the home crowd in a nice way on Sunday afternoon-ish. Got to mention Ish once again, 11 points. Kind of Luke and Ish and Anthony Tolliver, who knocked down three triples, kind of led a strong bench effort. So hats off to those guys as they were big parts of another big win for the Pistons. Well, one of the bigger numbers that deals with the Detroit Pistons start is anything that has to do with Tobias Harris from three-point land. And Jozak from Spain on Twitter reached out to me, one of the listeners of the podcast, and mentioned that Tobias might be in line for the Most Improved Player Award in the NBA. Now, that's a discussion for later in the season, obviously, but it's an interesting one because maybe is he even the most improved player on the team right now? Reggie Jackson, with the way he's bounced back from his horrible season last year with injuries and the problem with his knees, and the way Andre Drummond's shooting the ball from the free throw line and playing with renewed energy and becoming kind of the focal point of the offense in a lot of ways as well, I think Tobias might be third in line for that Most Improved Player Award on his own team. And that's not to discount how anything that Tobias has accomplished. It's just that he was pretty good last year. People might forget that he carried this team offensively for a lot of last season, and the results weren't great as a team for the Pistons last year, but Tobias led the team in scoring and had a pretty good year last year. So while he's taking his game to the next level and might be talked about in the All-Star discussion as the calendar turns here soon, but I just think that if you're talking Most Improved Player, you might look at a couple of Tobias's starter teammates as well. But it was a great point brought up there. But talking about those three-pointers for Tobias, as passed along on the telecast tonight by George and Greg, Tobias now has the most three-pointers in Pistons history through the first 13 games of a season with 42. A little bit of a mouthful there for me. But his strong night with 25 points and 5 of 8 shooting from three-point land on Sunday put him over a couple of crazy number plateaus. First of all, he's now officially averaging over 20.0 points per game for the season. So that puts you in kind of a different category of scorers as you look at all-star type of numbers and individual awards and stuff like that. But his 5 of 8 shooting performance also brought his season 3-point mark up to over 50%. He's at 50.6% on the season so far. Coming into the year, his career high for a season was 36.4, and that was the year before the Pistons acquired him, so his last full season with the Orlando Magic. Now, that's not sustainable. There's no way Tobias Harris is going to shoot over 50% from three-point land this season. But to suggest that he's going to fall back below his previous career high of 36.4 is probably maybe even just as ridiculous as thinking he's going to stay over 50%. So he's shooting well. I mean, when he's got an open shot right now from three, watching that game against the Heat on Sunday, I mean, you know it's in. Right now, that guy's in the zone. It is money right now. So why is that? Obviously, he put some off-season work on the shot. That's pretty obvious. But James Edwards III of The Athletic, friend of the pod, former guest of the Locked On Pistons podcast, he suggested and found out after talking to him after Friday night's game against Atlanta that Tobias revealed that he had LASIK surgery and fixed up his eyes. And as a contact lens wearer myself, you know how important those things are to your daily life. You're playing an NBA game. I'm sure you get bumped in the face a bunch. Those get thrown off course. Maybe, and he talked about in the article how sweat would sometimes get in his eyes and cause a burning sensation sometimes. So he bucked up, got the surgery, and has fixed up his eyes. So that obviously when you have a guy with such a strong start shooting-wise, there's going to be all sorts of factors. But that might be one of them physically for him. That would be a thing to keep an eye on, pardon the pun there. But obviously there's more other things about the Pistons team that have been helping him out shooting. They're running more of a motion offense than just a pick and roll. So it's less reliant on Reggie to get him the ball or Ish Smith or whoever's running a pick and roll to get him the ball in the right place and the right time. Running more of that motion offense really puts you in the spots that you want to be in, gets you moving in a nice rhythm as you collect the ball. And, of course, the offseason acquisitions that Stan Van Gundy made, Luke Kennard, Anthony Tolliver, Langston Galloway, what do these guys all have in common? They can shoot from deep. So you're spreading the floor a little bit more with shooters. You got Reggie Jackson back as a shot creator himself with a little bit more explosion on his knees so he can get to the basket so it's not relying more on Tobias himself to come up with the offense there. Avery Bradley has helped out offensively as he's spreading the floor. He's knocking down those long two-point jump shots. I'd like to see him maybe extend some of those to the three-point range a little bit and not rely so much on those long twos. The advanced stats aren't very kind to the long twos, and I think Avery could maybe stop a little bit with the pull-up jumper. He's got a little Rip Hamilton disease there, and I know that Hamilton was lauded for his mid-range game, and it was strong, and it's a nice, you know, weapon to have, but I think hoop heads like me and other folks out there know that long two-point shot is probably not the way to go if you're looking at sustained success. But he's shooting great, and he's scoring a lot right now, so, of course, keep up everything you're doing at this point, Avery. But anyway, getting on, and look, we talked a little bit about earlier in the podcast today, the episode, Andre Drummond kind of running that, I think calling him kind of a point center is maybe a little bit overblown, but it's suggesting that he's running the offense through him a little bit, getting him away from the basket. I think that is something that helps Tobias Harris a little bit too, because it frees up spaces on the court and gets him into places where he might want to be. And they're looking for instant offense. George and Greg on the telecast, they talked about this too in the second quarter, is that they were getting shots early on in the shot clock and forcing the defense to play 24 seconds on D. So I think that when you are moving the ball, you're looking for early scoring, I think that you're putting a lot of pressure on the defense, and maybe Tobias can find himself open on the three-point line a little bit easier when that is the case. But a big week coming up for the Pistons, hitting the road. Got some tough teams coming up on the schedule. Like I said, I'll be in Milwaukee on Wednesday. I'm going to have a full report later on in the week about that game. Looking forward to it, as we got Eric Bledsoe and the Central Division rivals and Giannis and all that comes with the Bucks and their history with the Pistons and some of the players' histories with both teams. So it's kind of a team that I'm a little bit fascinated with because the teams, the Pistons and the Bucks, are on upward trajectories seemingly at the same time. So a team we might have to deal with over the years quite a bit. So we're going to have plenty more great content this week on Locked On Pistons. I got a couple other things up my sleeve that we'll be revealing later on in the week as well. But thanks for joining us. This is your host, Matt Shook. Follow me on Twitter at Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, and then another underscore after that. Join us on Draft Wednesday. Let me know if you're having trouble getting the app or anything like that, or if any of the directions, or if you want to get in on the draft, I can send you an invite to that as well. And have a great start to the week, everyone. Thanks for listening.